challenge in 2 minutes is really quite difficult. So even when you do your best, you're up against the clock and you're thinking, ah, it just can't be done. Can't be done. It made me think of a time when I think I was 10 years old, and this is true. My parents were a bit frustrated with me with my grades in school. Don't know, does that ring with anybody here? Is anybody's parents maybe a little bit frustrated with their performance in school? Good. I'm just glad I'm not the only one. There's only like four hands that went up. So for the rest of you, well done. So I wasn't doing too well in school, and I think I was 10 years old, I think. Either way, my parents said, listen, the next term, if you bring home a report card that has straight A's, we will give you $1,000. I mean, we're talking like early 90s. $1,000 was pretty significant. I could buy probably 35 video games with that kind of money. So that was a big deal. Now, do you think I did my best? Do you think I studied? Helen, don't believe in me. She said no. I did. I really did. I was 10 years old, $1,000. I had the like dollar signs in my eyes. And I was like, yes, I'm going to do it. I'm going to study. And I did. Every night I studied for a couple of hours. I did all my spelling charts. I really, really did do my best. And then I got the report card that I had to take home, and I had missed it. I had missed the mark by the slimmest of margins, really. It was only in one subject that I didn't get an A, but I got an A in all the other ones. My parents were really proud of me. They were like, wow, you did your best. And I was like, yes, I did. Yes, I did. And the money never came because I didn't actually get straight A's, did I? And that was the challenge. That was the goal that I was supposed to meet, and I didn't get it. Even though I did my best, I was like, Mom, Dad, did my best. What do you say? And obviously not wanting to be out $1,000, they said, sorry, you didn't get straight A's, so you don't get the money. So I left very, very sad. I had given my all, and I had wasted all that time on schooling. Disregard that. And I didn't get any money. So let's just read for a moment a similar situation that we find in the Bible. This is from Matthew 19, starting at verse 16. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied. There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments. Which ones? The man inquired. Jesus replied, Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. All these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? Jesus answered, If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, Who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So the man had thought he had done his best when he really hadn't. He had left something on the table, and he wasn't willing to go and follow Jesus. And this alarmed him, and it saddened him, and he walked away disappointed. And so too were Jesus' disciples. Jesus' disciples were with him. They were his best friends, and they'd been following him all this time, and they see this happen, and they're also a bit concerned. They're saying, Jesus, who then can be saved? That's their exact words. Well, who then can be saved? And they're probably thinking of themselves as well. And Jesus, he says, with humans, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So just stick with me for a moment for another mental exercise here. Just imagine, do we see that light bulb that's on just above the pulpit? Yeah? Everybody focused on that for just a moment? Imagine that there's like a balloon that's tied to it or something that I want. And it's up there, and I'm down here. Forget for a moment that this is here, this staircase, because that would make it a lot easier. Now, being 6'3" myself, being 6'3" myself, I still can't reach this. Even if I extend my arms as far as I can, I still can't reach it. If I stand on this chair, I'm still well short, am I not? Well, actually, I'm not short. I'm 6'3". And if I leapt as high as I could, I'd still be far too short to reach that. So it's there. It's up there. I'm reaching for it, much in the same way that I was reaching for $1,000. I tried my best. I did what I could. In this case, I tried to be a bit clever, and yet I still cannot reach what's up there. So I don't know. I hopefully we'll get some clarity as we go forward.
Hello. I am Emily. For those of you who don't know, when I went to some of the groups, I had a lot of, "That's Emily. Oh, that's Emily. I know Emily." So I'm assuming that most of you guys know me, but that's my name if you don't. We heard Kenny talk about this situation, right, where we're reaching up, but we just can't quite get there. And everyone in this room might be a bit taller than Kenny. Maybe someone's 6'7" in this room, right? But even then, none of us could reach that. So God saw that we were in this situation, and he saw that we can't reach it on our own. And he wasn't okay with that. He didn't see that situation and thought, "Oh, well, that's the way it." You're really hidden in there. give me a fright. He said he wasn't okay with that. He set out to do something about it. And he set out to do that because he loves us, because he saw that situation. He saw the separation between us and him. And he thought, "I'm not okay with that. I love these people, and I want to do something about it." And so some of us would be sitting there thinking, "Well, can't he just let it go, right? Like, we can't reach, but he could just maybe bring it down to us, just let it go, make it easier." And sadly, he couldn't do that, because for God to be God and for God to have authority, he needs to enforce the rules, right? And the rule is that sin deserves death. It does not deserve eternal life. It says in Romans, this is chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death," right? So wages is something you earn. We earn death with our sin. And so he couldn't make it easier, but he could give us someone to help us. He knew that someone had to be punished for it, but it didn't necessarily have to be us. It could be someone who was perfect. So he sent Jesus down. And Jesus was the only person who ever lived who never sinned. He didn't even think a bad thing about his parents. He didn't lie. He didn't steal. He didn't do anything that could be considered sin. He was completely perfect. And he came and he was crucified and he died, even though he didn't deserve it, so that we can have eternal life. He came and he gave that sacrifice. He gave himself up, even though he was so, so perfect, and that he didn't earn it at all. And so the rest of that verse, it goes, "The wages of sin is death. What we earn is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The gift of God, that distinction between wages and gift is why it's so special, because we couldn't earn it. We couldn't reach this on our own, right? But he sends down Jesus to help us reach this bar. He sends down Jesus, and that's a gift. And because it's a gift, all we have to do is accept that. We have to accept the help. A lot of us can be like, I'm really bad at accepting like compliments or gifts. I'm getting better at it, but if someone comes up to me and they're like, I got you something, I'm like, no, you shouldn't have, and I'm crying and I'm all overwhelmed with emotions, right? But I still accept the gift because then I get it. So I'm like, I want to take that, I want to say yes, and I want to accept that from you because someone who loves you wants to give you something that they've put their heart into and thought about you and bought for you. And so that's all Jesus asks us to do. He's not asking us to try and reach this anymore. He's saying, accept my help. So we're going to sing about how big God's love is. Well, God's love is big.
God's love is big. God's love is great. Yeah, Laura and Kenny, come on out then. Except when we come to the bit, he's my mate, just blow each other a kiss, okay? Yeah? Okay, shall we all stand? I think we need to give Kenny and Emily a huge round of applause for that. Kenny and Laura. So what have we learned? Well, so far we've learned that we can't reach up to God. We're just not good enough. We never will be good enough. But God cares about that. So Jesus is the God who died for us. And his death on the cross was God's way of reaching down to us. We can't reach up to God. God reaches down to us. When Jesus died in our place, taking our sin upon himself, he opened up the way back to God for us all. Anyone who wants to accept him and put their trust in him. But he didn't expect us to do this in our own strength. Now, that's the important thing. You know, I remember the first time I ever went to Gracemont High School. Hands up if you've ever been to Gracemont High School. Quite a few of you have. Hands up if you've ever been to the old Gracemont High School. Oh, well, this is something that happened about 5 billion years ago when I first came to this church. And I had to go and see Miss Fleming. She was still there, still is now, at the old Gracemont High School. I remember going in thinking, oh, how am I going to find Miss Fleming in this place? Now, I've probably told this story before, but it's a good story and it's true. And it says a lot about Gracemont High School. But also there's a sort of message in it for us all today. I remember going in, and there's this massive, great, big labyrinth of a place. I mean, honestly, and there's all these kids going all over the place and things happening. And I remember in the middle of it all coming up to this young lad who's probably in about S2, S3, and say, excuse me, in a brave voice, excuse me, could you tell me how to get to the RME classroom, please? And I can still remember his reply. Because he didn't say, oh, well, you've got to go up those stairs and then turn left and then turn right and then go up long and then down those stairs and then along and then turn left and then go straight along the corridor and you're nearly there and then you find, and then you turn left and it's a third class. He didn't say that. He didn't. He said, do you want me to take you there? I said, oh, that'd be nice. And he did. Now, I still get lost trying to find my way there. I mean, especially as it's been knocked down, you know. So now, as I said, that tells you a lot about Gracemont High School, because the kids there are absolutely brilliant, and they look after you. There's a deeper meaning behind it. You know, we celebrate something really special at Easter time. We celebrate the fact that Jesus died, and yes, he died, but he rose again. And we acknowledge that every time we meet together to worship, we acknowledge that he's still with us now. The risen Lord Jesus is still with us now in the power of his Holy Spirit. And this is the Jesus who is calling us to follow him. And the reason he calls us to follow him is because he knows the way. And this is really important, because it's not a case of him saying, there is a way to heaven. It's very difficult. It's very narrow. There's lots of trials along the way. You may slip, you may fall, off you go. That's not Jesus' way. Jesus says, I know the way to heaven. Why don't you come with me? That's what he says, follow me. And so it's really, really important to know that. You know, we said it's impossible to reach up to God, and Jesus is God coming down to us. But he doesn't just come down to us and say, well, that's the way. You've got to do this, this, and this. He says, come with me and I'll take you there. He lifts us up into his presence. You know, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is from a letter that was written by a guy called James. Anybody here called James, Jimmy? Yeah. Oh, yes, we have a James. So you were named after the guy who wrote this letter. Yeah. Anyway, in the letter he says this, humble yourself before the Lord your God, and he will lift you up. Humble yourself. That means don't think that you can be good enough in your own strength. Don't think you can do it alone. Acknowledge that you need God's help. Humble yourself before the Lord your God, and he will lift you up. And that's Jesus' way. He knows the way. And he knows that there'll be times when we go along that way, we'll mess up. But he'll still be there with us, picking us up, putting us back on the road again. And he will lift us up. He will take us there in his own strength. So, we're going to sing a song about that now. It's called be lifted up, as we bow down, as we humble ourselves, be lifted up.
Let us pray. Lord, thank you for all our youth organizations, for the chance they give us to have fun together, to play and to learn. We ask you to bless all the young people who come to the Kirk Centre each week, and those in the community who are getting to know you through our youth workers. Thank you for the dedication and hard work of the leaders and volunteers who give so generously of their time to help others. Let them know that they are valued, that they make a real difference to the lives of many young people. At this strange time of uncertainty, we pray that you would protect us from all harm. Be with those who are afraid or lonely, and help us to think of each other and remember those who may be in need. We pray that you guide our governments and scientists in discovering the best way to keep us all safe and bring life back to normal.
Lord, we want to give thanks for all those that work so hard to keep us well, for the nurses and doctors and other healthcare providers who already have such high-pressure jobs, who are working even harder in the light of this virus. We pray for those stuck at home, isolating themselves. Be with them, Lord. Let them know that they are not alone, that we are thinking of them and that we love them and that you love them. We thank you for all the young people here and the organisations they attend. We thank you for their leaders who volunteer every week, creating a safe place for them to grow, learn, and have fun. We thank you for the long-lasting friendships that come from these groups, and we pray for many more. Lord, help us to not forget the others in the world who are suffering, not due to the coronavirus, but other illnesses, war and famine. We think of the families who are experiencing loss at this moment. Be with them, comfort them, show them they are loved. Lord, there are so many other prayers we could add, but for now, we ask for kindness, safety, and love. In your name, amen.